right. I see that the Lord gave us a bright, sunshiny day here today, and I suppose that He did that just for us, because we are talking this morning about Jesus being the light of the world, and it is an absolutely bright and beautiful day to remind us of that. Now, I intended, when I sat down to prepare the message for today, I intended to cover some ground, and actually intended to cover from verse 12 at least down to verse 30. And when I started preparing the message, I kept paring down, and actually we're going to cover one verse here this morning, John 8:12. So I pared it down quite a bit, as you can see. As most of you know, the overriding theme of the Gospel of John is that Jesus is the Christ, and that Jesus is Almighty God Himself. Yes, Jesus did leave His first estate, and He came to the earth. He took on a fleshly body, and became a man, and He was made a little lower than the angels, and He got hungry, and He got thirsty, and Jesus suffered pain, and even suffered the indignity of death. But through all of that, He never became less than God Himself. This is the story of John's Gospel. It is this man, Jesus, who is God. If you go back to the very beginning of the Gospel, in John 1:1, the message is stated very clearly. And it says there, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." And on it goes through the Gospel of John, and it proves over and over again that Jesus is very God Himself. Now, there are many ways to state that Jesus is God. John stated it verbally and in a very straightforward way in John 1:1, didn't he? He simply said, "And the Word was God." But he states it in many other ways throughout the entire Gospel. Now, one day, John the Baptist was standing by the River Jordan. And he was standing there with his disciples, and he pointed at Jesus, and he said, "You see that man over there? I was baptizing him, and I saw the Holy Spirit come down out of heaven in the form of a dove, and it rested upon him. And I heard a voice out of heaven, and this voice said, 'This is He which baptizes with the Holy Ghost.'" So you see, John testified that there was something special about this man Jesus. He was, in fact, God. When Jesus was calling Nathanael to be His disciple, we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school this morning, He saw Nathanael under the fig tree, even when Nathanael was far away. And Jesus was able to see him there because Jesus was God. Jesus went to a little town called Cana of Galilee, and there He turned water into wine, and it was the best wine of the whole marriage ceremony. This was evidence that Jesus was God Himself. Then Jesus went into the temple at Jerusalem and ran the money changers out of the outer gates of the temple, and Jesus exerted His authority. This demonstrated that Jesus was God over His temple. Now, after He cleansed the temple, Jesus then proceeded to publicly perform many, many miracles there in Jerusalem. And His miracles were so conclusive, according to Nicodemus, that there was no doubt that Jesus was a man come from God. Now, Nicodemus was only partially right there. Jesus was more than a man come from God. Jesus was God Himself. After these things, Jesus went into Samaria, and there he met a woman who had five previous husbands, and the man she was living with was not presently her husband. And in the course of this conversation with this woman, Jesus told her directly that he was the Christ, the long-expected Messiah. Let me just read it to you. John 4, 25 and 26, it says, "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." This is perhaps the most direct statement that Jesus ever makes, that he is the Messiah and that he is the Christ. Jesus then went back into Cana of Galilee, and from Cana he healed the nobleman's son, and he healed that son from a distance. The son was in Capernaum, and Jesus was in Cana. And Jesus healed the nobleman's son, and he told the nobleman, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And this was further evidence that Jesus was God, because he could heal from a long distance away. Now, then Jesus went back into Jerusalem. There was another feast, and he found the man by the pool of Bethesda. And this man had been lame for 38 years, lying there around the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus healed him. And this proved that Jesus was God. No one else on the face of the earth could have healed this man. Now, when he healed this man there at the pool of Bethesda, there was a sideline to this story. Jesus healed him on a certain day. Do you remember what day it was? It was the Sabbath day, and the Jews were all fired up against Jesus because Jesus had worked on the Sabbath day. And Jesus told them that God has always worked on the Sabbath day, and therefore I work on the Sabbath day. Now, what does that tell you? Jesus was claiming to be God. Jesus then fed 5,000 men, plus women and children, with five loaves and two fishes. Now, this was an astonishing miracle, and it proved that Jesus was God. And Jesus used this miracle of the bread as a springboard for his "I am the bread of life" discourse. And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life" in John 6:35. And by this, Jesus was instructing that he was God, you see. In his bread of life discourse, Jesus taught, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And furthermore, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." And many of his disciples, it says, went away at that time. And they said, these are hard sayings. You see, they didn't like the doctrines of grace that much then either, did they? And they went away. And Jesus then went to his disciples and he said, "Will you also go away?" And do you remember what Peter said? Peter answered Jesus and he said, "We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Isn't that the theme of the book of John? Over and over, we're going to have testimony that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so you see that the Gospel of John establishes over and over that Jesus is the Christ and he is God himself. Now, the other theme that runs side by side with that theme throughout the book of John is that the Jews continued to reject that message. They did not believe that he was their Messiah. They did not believe that he was the Anointed One or the Christ. They did not believe that he was God himself. And they wrestled against his message. And against all of this evidence, they would not believe it. And now we come to our text for this morning, which is found in John 8, chapter 12. John 8, verse 12. And Jesus once again makes an astonishing announcement. He says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, this is the second of the seven I am discourses in John's gospel. We saw the first I am discourse in chapter 6, where Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And now we come to the second I am discourse, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Later in the book of John, we're going to see that Jesus said, "I am the door, and I am the good shepherd, and I am the resurrection and the life, and I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the true vine." Now, when Jesus said, "I am the bread," he was describing himself in a certain way. And when he says, "I am the light," he is describing himself in a different way. Now, Jesus, you must understand, was a very glorious person. And he can be described in a million different ways. This morning, we consider that Jesus is the light of the world. Now, this is obviously a metaphor. Everyone knows what a metaphor is, right? You use something in the physical realm to describe something in a spiritual realm or in another aspect. So John says that, or Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And that's a metaphor. Now, when the sun went down, the body of Jesus did not glow in the dark. Everyone is aware that that's not what Jesus meant when he said that he was the light of the world. It didn't mean that he lit up Jerusalem when the sun went down, right? But the use of the word light to refer to Jesus instructs us about a part of his essential nature. God has always been associated with light. There is something about light as opposed to darkness that is very glorious and very divine. It says in 1 John 1:5, which was also, of course, written by John the Apostle, it says in 1 John 1:5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is," what? "Light." God is light. And in him is not darkness at all. So I want you to see that the scriptures often associate light with God. Now, of course, it's not a one-to-one correspondence. God is much more than just light. God is also love, the Bible says. God is mercy. God is justice. God is holiness. You get the idea. There are many ways to describe God. All of these words are descriptive of him, and it would take all the words in the universe and many more to describe God fully. But there are certain words that are so closely associated with the very nature of God that the scriptures simply say God is love and God is light. Now, when we consider the phrase "God is light," if any of you have a physics background, your natural inclination is to think of photons and perhaps light particles of some kind. And certainly God created light in our physical universe. It says in Genesis, "In the beginning, darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light." So God created light even in our physical world. Let me point out something about that before we move on. Does anyone here know on what day God created light? Janine says the fourth day. That's the sun and the moon and the stars. When did He create light? Day number one. He looked out on the face of the deep and it was dark. And God said, "Let there be light." There was no sun. There was no moon. There were no stars, but there was light. And this shows that God is capable of creating light without the sun, you see. It's an essential part of God's nature, light is. And He created it in the physical sense. Now, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, you remember that they were led by a cloud during the day, and by night they were led by what? Fire, a pillar of fire. That is, God provided them with light. Now, of course, light in our universe is a very glorious thing, isn't it? You look outside, and it's just amazing that we can walk around and there's no darkness out there. It's light. And it helps us to understand the greatness of our God who could create light like that. When you stand on the shore of the ocean, like Sonia and I did recently, and you watch the sun come up over the horizon in the morning, you cannot help but be struck with the awesome greatness of God. But that is just physical light. That is just a mere type of God's light. God is light in a much greater sense even than that. Now, in the Scriptures, God Himself is described in terms of light. Look what the psalmist said in Psalm 27:1. If you flip to the Psalms and turn to Psalm 27:1, it says there, "The Lord is my," what? "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Now, when the psalmist said, "The Lord is my light," he didn't mean that the Lord was the sun and the stars. What he meant was that the Lord did for him spiritually what the sun and the stars do or did for him physically. Just as the sun came up in the morning and wiped out the darkness and allowed him to see in the physical world, the Lord also came up and cast a light upon his heart and allowed him to see things that he otherwise could not see. Now, one thing that we often talk about around here is that there is a blackness and there is a darkness to the fallen human heart and the fallen human mind, and there is simply no light. Sin has darkened our understanding. Now, the natural man thinks that he knows it all, but he really knows nothing. His heart and his mind is as black as night, and there is no real understanding. It has rendered us blind spiritually. The fall of man has rendered us blind spiritually, and we are pitiful creatures, stumbling around in spiritual darkness. But there is a God of light, and He can turn the lights on whenever He so chooses. He can turn the light of your mind on, and He can turn the light of your heart on. I'd like for you to consider the case of Lydia. The story of Lydia is a short story found in the book of Acts. It's found in Acts chapter 13. And if you'll take a look there in Acts 13:14, let's consider the case of Lydia. Now, Lydia was a Jewish woman who was stuck in that old form of Jewish worship. And look what Luke says about her in Acts 13:14. It says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Is it not Acts 13, 14? Maybe it's Acts 16, 14. There we go. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So there you have the case of this woman. The Lord opened her heart, and she attended to those things. Now, there's another example. After Jesus' resurrection, Jesus appeared to two men who were walking along a road. Remember the road to Emmaus? And they were sad because Jesus had been crucified. And it says that Jesus opened the Scriptures, and starting at Moses and all the prophets, must have been a long conversation, he explained the Scriptures to them, and they asked him to stay for dinner. And he went and stayed with them for dinner, and when he said the blessing, for some reason, they recognized him. It says their eyes were opened in Luke 24, 31. And they went to Jerusalem then, and they told others. And while they were gathered together with the others, Jesus appeared to them, and it says that he opened their understanding. Look at Luke 24, 45. Luke 24, 45, if I've got it right this time. It says, then opened he their understanding. Do you see how Jesus is the light of the world? It doesn't mean that he lit up Jerusalem at night, but it does mean that he enlightens people's minds and their hearts. You see, God is light, and he not only provides physical light, but he also provides spiritual light. That is, he causes the blind to see. He causes the ignorant to understand. This is one of the marvelous things about first coming to know Christ. If your experience is anything like mine, there was this sensational experience of having the lights turned on. And suddenly you could understand what you could not understand before. And you saw the truth in a way that you never saw it before. But this is not only a sensation for those who first come to know Christ. It is also a continuing sensation throughout the Christian experience. I'd like for you to take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to show you how Jesus continues to turn the light on even for Christians, even for those who have known Him for some time. There is an enlightening process. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. And he says there, if I can start with the word I and then skip down to verse, I think it's 15, it says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened. So Paul was praying for these Ephesian saints, praying that God the Father would give them enlightenment, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, Paul understood that God is light. And by His power, He can turn the light on in the human heart. Whenever He decides to do so, He can do so by His great power. So God Himself is light. God is full of understanding and knowledge. God has all the truth of the universe contained in a bottle. All of the mysteries of all the sciences are easily known to Him. There are no dark corners to our God. He knows every last theory. He knows every last mathematical equation and every philosophical reality. God is the source of all possible knowledge, for He created it all. Now, when prophets had visions of God in the Old Testament, many times they saw God as a great light. And if you want to turn there, Ezekiel chapter 1, and in verses 26 through 28, it says there in Ezekiel 1, 26 through 28, "And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins, even upward, downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire. And it had brightness round about." You see how God is portrayed in the Old Testament? It's lightness and brightness. "As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake." You remember that when John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, that he had a vision? And he had a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the vision was all about. This is found in Revelation chapter 1 and starting in verse 10. So Revelation 1 and verse 10, this is John's vision of God or the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book. And send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, and Pergamos, and Thyatira, and Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks." Now, a candlestick is a lamp of light. "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, there was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword." Now look at this last phrase. "And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." Now, when the Old Testament foretold of the coming Messiah, it spoke of him as being a light of the Gentiles. You remember hearing that phrase before? He is a light of the Gentiles and a light to his own people. The Old Testament also foretold that in eternity there would neither be night nor day, but at evening time it would be light. Now, how is that possible? Well, it's possible because God is light. Heaven will be one eternal day, and there will be no sun because it will be lit by the true light, which is God Himself. Now, in our text, Jesus, speaking to these unbelieving Jews, said, "I am the light of the world." Now, this was an unmistakable declaration of deity. If they knew their Old Testament at all, they should have a sense of what the light meant. And Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." There were lesser lights in the world. There was the sun that came up every morning and went away every evening, but that was only physical light. and typical light. There were candlesticks in the tabernacle and in the temple, but these were only types of Christ. But Jesus came and said, I am the light of the world. And by this, Jesus declared that He was God Himself. This is the theme of the book of John, that Jesus is God. I want you to notice here that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He was not one light among many. He was the light. Did you know that all other lights were mere shadows of Him? He is the light that lights the world. Whatever other lights are in the world, they are lesser lights. They are temporary lights. They are foreshadowing lights. But when Jesus came, He was the true light. Flip back to John chapter 1 and look at verse 9 for a moment. And there, John the Baptist, or John the Apostle says, that was the true light, speaking of Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Also notice that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So Jesus was the light, and He was the light of the world. This is a statement that extends His authority to unlimited proportions. The authority of Jesus and His influence was global. It was universal. It was not limited to Bethlehem. And it was not limited to Nazareth. It was not limited to the general area, but His light would shine in all parts of the earth. Specifically, His light was not only for the nation of Israel, but it would also light the Gentiles. And so, when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, it was a claim of absolute deity. He is the God of all men. Now, when Jesus used the word light, He, of course, was not talking about physical light again. Rather, He was talking about other qualities associated with light. Now, certainly, Jesus was the light in that He was the depository of perfect holiness and purity. His moral perfections were so stark and brilliant that they shined forth as light in a dark place. When you looked upon Jesus, not His body, but His actions and His words and His demeanor, you saw a brilliant display of holy living. And you saw a display of holy living such that had never been approached by human beings before. You saw something like the sun shining at high noon. Jesus was loving and compassionate and gracious and kind. He was self-sacrificing and caring. He was humble and gentle. And when He opened His mouth, truth came out like rays of sunshine. And He was the light of the world. There was no mistaking Him. There was no other light like Him. But He was also the light in that He was the perfect revelation of the Father. Now, other prophets had told us about God. And we knew something about God from creation and from the Old Testament scriptures. But now we could see for ourselves what God was like in a human body. And He was the perfect reflection of the very essence of God. And because He shone forth the brilliant perfections of the Father, He said, I am the light of the world. Now, when He said, I'm the light of the world, He meant something even more than all of that. He meant that life itself, that most precious quality, was in Him. Take a look at your text this morning, John 8:12. And it goes on, he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of what? Life. That's what it means to be the light of the world. It means that life is in you. Jesus is not merely the display of moral perfection. He is not merely the revelation of God the Father, but He is also the possessor of life. If anyone wants to live, then he must follow Jesus. Jesus said, He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Do you want to live? Then you must follow Jesus. He is the light of life. Now, we live in a very dark world. We are led around by very dark minds, other minds and our own minds. We are moved by the passions of a very dark heart, and in our natural condition, we live in darkness. Have you ever gotten up at night and you're sort of sleepy anyway and it's dark and you think you know your way to the bathroom, but you end up disoriented and running into the wall or this, that, and the other? Most of us have done that at certain times. And that's the way we are spiritually in our natural condition. But Jesus came into the world and said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, by this, Jesus meant that you have two options in life. You can reject Him, and you can remain in spiritual darkness and stumble around in ignorance and unbelief, and eventually you will die in your sins. Or you can follow Jesus and have life. There is no other option. There is no other door unto eternal life. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Did you know that there is only one light of the world? And a sinner can only find God the Father by following that light. There is only one door, and a sinner can only enter into the kingdom of God through that door. There is only one shepherd, and He's the only one that can lead the sheep to the Father. And so Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let me put it just as simply as I know how to put it this morning. If you will put your faith in Jesus Christ and follow Him wherever He leads you, then He will lead you out of darkness. And you will find eternal life. His Word will be a light unto your path, the Bible says. And His steps will lead you down the path of righteousness and peace and joy. But if you reject Him like the masses of fallen men do, and like these Jews did in our text, and if you reject the light, and you follow your own dark instincts, then you will find yourself in utter darkness, eternally lost, and with no light and no life for all eternity. It's a grave choice, isn't it? It's a very, very serious matter. To follow your sinful inclinations and die, or to follow the light of Jesus and live. That is the choice that each must make. Let me just read you a passage in closing. Matthew 7:13 says, For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus is that door. Jesus is that shepherd. Jesus is that way. Jesus is the light of the world. Would you bow with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, now we come to You and we thank You for this great verse of Scripture that tells us that Jesus is the light of the world. There is no other light. There is no other Savior. There is no other way under heaven whereby. Lord, we thank You.